Hello, everybody. They're at Solomon's Porch in Hong Kong. I wish I were there just to be with you and I could say hello to everybody. You might like to know that 5 years ago, I made a commitment to pray for Solomon's Porch every day. I may have missed a day or two. I don't think many. This is on my prayer list. Also, Pastor Sam Song and his lovely wife, Alisa, and all of you. And I think of you, I think of my friend, I call her Cheeky. Are you there, Cheeky? You know who you are. I better not mention any more names. But I do think of you. Wish I could be there. Who knows? Maybe someday I will. I'm 86 years old, and at my age, I don't presume too many things. But maybe one day I'll be back. In any case, God bless you all. And I have a word for you that I trust will be a blessing at this particular juncture in the life of Solomon's Porch. I want to read to you from verses from Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1 says, "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." And then verses 5 and 6 read like this. "By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Oh, may God be pleased to bless the reading and the preaching of this, his most holy and infallible word. Brief word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus upon all those who will be watching this, listen, in order that their perception of what I say will be received as you intend. Cleanse my tongue that I will be your transparent instrument to say all that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said. Help me to be very, very clear, very, very simple. I ask that this will be life-changing and a word that brings great honor and glory to your name. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin by a personal story that I believe you will find relevant. I grew up hearing this story from my father. My father tells me that when my mother was 6 months pregnant with me, that they were in a church and they were listening to a sermon that so moved my dad that as he heard the sermon, he said that he put his hand on my mother's tummy and said, "Lord, let me have a son that will preach like this man." Well, I grew up hearing that story. All right, fast forward some 18, 19 years later. I'm at Tribeca Nazarene University in Nashville, Tennessee. And in those days, we had to go to chapel every day. And that meant we would hear hundreds and hundreds of sermons. I want you to know that in all the years that I was at Tribeca, I remember one sermon. One. It was preached by a man who took his text from what I've just read, except that he quoted the King James Version, as most of us used in those days. And it was like this. "By faith, Enoch had this testimony before his translation that he pleased God." I can't remember all that was said in the sermon, but I know one thing. It moved me like no other had moved me or since at Tribeca. I went to my dormitory room, got on my knees, and I began to pray, "Lord, let me be like Enoch, that I please you." Well, it happens that later that day, my father phoned me for some reason, and I said to him, "Dad, I want to tell you something. I heard a sermon today in chapel like I've never heard in my life. It moved me no end." And I told him just a little bit about the sermon. He said, "Who is the preacher?" I said, "A man by the name of C.B. Cox." And Dad said, "Son, that was the man. That was the man who was preaching when your mother was 6 months pregnant with you, and I prayed that I could have a preacher that would one day be like this man." Well, I don't think that's a coincidence, and I have another theory. I have another theory that for some reason, in the year 1956, when I would have been 21 years old, when I heard the verse John 5:44, I was gripped. And I want you to know that verse became my life verse. Now, John 5:44 reads, it's the words of Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. Jesus asked the question, "How can you believe who receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that comes from God only?" That's the way the old King James Version read. And I was given a deep-seated longing to please God, just to please Him. And I think it goes back to the fact that my father prayed for me before I was born. And the reason that that sermon gripped me, I think they all connect. Well, John 5:44 is such an important verse. You need to know the words of Jesus to the Pharisees who did not believe Him. And Jesus knew they didn't believe in Him. He knew why they didn't believe in Him. He said, "How can you believe when all you want is the honor of one of another? And you make no attempt to seek the honor that comes from the only God." Well, that verse is relevant to this very day. How we believe. In other words, the measure, quality of our faith can be determined by whether we want the honor of God or the praise and approval of people. Well, that said, I want to talk to you now about this, a word that I believe God has given me, and I would have thought it could be relevant to where you are at this precise moment. Charles Spurgeon used to say, if a verse gets a hold of you, well, chances are you have got a hold of it. I can tell you, this verse has got a hold of me. And I would have thought the greatest thing that can ever be said about anybody is that they pleased God, that he pleased God. You know, some months ago, I watched the funeral of the late Duke of Edinburgh. He's the father of Prince Charles, the husband of Her Majesty the Queen. Duke of Edinburgh died at the age, I think, of 99, 73 years married to Her Majesty the Queen. And at the end of the funeral, or just before the end, the Archbishop of Canterbury began to list the awards given to the Duke of Edinburgh. I think there were 11. I mean, they were out of reach for any of us. I mean, nobody could ever come up and get the kind of awards he got, except you must not forget, he was born to royalty. He's got what they call royal blood. And so the awards he got, you and I could never get. And I don't know what he did to earn them. He just kind of fell into them. I couldn't help but wonder, this is my own thought, I wonder if the Duke of Edinburgh ever thought that these awards would help him get to heaven. I hope not, but I can tell you they won't help at all. You see, there's one thing that matters for all of us 100 years from now. One, whether you're in heaven or hell. But there's a subsidiary thing, a second thing. If you want to be among those who come into your inheritance, to have that rich welcome to heaven, 1 Peter 2:11, or is it 2 Peter 2:11? I forget which. That we make our calling and election sure. It's 2 Peter 1:10 and 11. And those who do that will have a rich welcome. Now, how can you have that? How can you have a reward at the judgment seat of Christ? Well, I can tell you, it comes down to this, that you please God. And so what it says of Enoch, it says he pleased God. Now, the Apostle Paul gave his pedigree in Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. I'll read it. Circumcised the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I count as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, which comes from the law, but that which comes through the faith of Christ. Well, what we know is Hebrews 11 verse 5 says that Enoch pleased God. Now, it doesn't say he pleased his parents. Sometimes that can be hard to do. I speak with a little bit of experience on this. I mentioned my father a while ago. I must tell you, he was a godly man, maybe the most godly man I ever knew. But he wasn't perfect. He had standards for me that were so high, I never felt I could please him. My first day in school, in Crab Elementary School in Ashland, Kentucky, I was 6 years old. My first report card, I remember it as though it were yesterday. 3 B's and 3 C's. That was my report card. And I thought, oh, I don't think my dad is going to be very happy. Well, here's what he said when he saw me. He said, well, son, if you work hard, next report card, you can have all B's and no C's. I did. I had all B's. And then a year later, I remember getting B's and 1 or 2 A's. He said, son, if you work real hard, you can get all A's and no B's. I did. And then one day, I had a report card of all A's, but some were A minuses. And I thought, oh, I know what my dad will pick up. But here's the thing. Sometimes parents can be too strict on their children. I think maybe my dad was that way with me. But the thing is, we're not told that Enoch pleased his father. And maybe someone there in Solomon's porch, you know what it is not to come up to your dad's or your parents' standard. Another thing, it doesn't say he pleased his friends. That can be hard to do. You know the phrase, if with a friend like that, who needs enemies? And sometimes friendships can turn sour. I've thought of writing a whole book on the subject, When Relationships Turn Sour. It's interesting. I won't go into that now. But it doesn't say that Enoch pleased his friends. It doesn't say he pleased his wife. That can be hard to do. I remember preaching in Northern Ireland some years ago, and I don't remember my subject, but a man came up to me after the service and said, may I ask you a question? I said, sure. He said, can your wife be your enemy? I said, yeah. He said, thank you. And then he turned around and came back. He said, by the way, I want to tell you that your sermon on unhappy marriage, or no, it wasn't a sermon, it was a book, he called it. He said, your book on unhappy marriage He said, changed my life. I said, sorry, sir, but I haven't written a book on unhappy marriage. He said, you have. It's wonderful. And then it hit me. I have written a book called Thorn in the Flesh, and I've got, I think, 10 chapters, and I give different examples of what could be another person's thorn. We don't know what Paul's thorn in the flesh was, but maybe your thorn could be having an enemy. Maybe it's inability to control money. Maybe it's a temperamental problem. And there's a chapter called Living with an Unhappy Marriage. And he said that was what changed him. He thought it was the whole book. That was what the book meant to him. As for Enoch, doesn't say he pleased his enemies. That can be hard to do. Forgive me, I speak from experience here. I know what it is. When I was at Westminster Chapel, there were people there that looked for a chance to see me make some kind of a mistake. There was one man who wrote a book. He did. He wrote a book against my teaching with his notepad and taking notes and waited for me to say something that he could quote. And, you know, when you've got somebody like that in your congregation, it's hard not to think about him. But it wasn't easy. But the thing is, what does it say about Enoch? It doesn't say he pleased his enemies, his wife, his friends. It said he didn't please those who were jealous of him. There's a proverb, who can stand before jealousy? But here's what it says, that he pleased God. And by the way, doesn't even say he pleased himself. Interesting. Romans 15, verse 3, Christ pleased not himself. But what we know, he pleased God. And I would have thought this is the greatest and grandest thing that anybody could ever do. And here's the wonderful thing about it. It's possible. It is a possible thing. You can't always please your parents or your friends or whoever, but you can please God. Now, Hebrews 11, which this is taken from, I should tell you, very important that you know this, when you read the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it's famous as the faith chapter. 1 Corinthians 13 is called the love chapter. Well, Hebrews 11 is called the faith chapter. And it's not describing people who did what they did to get to heaven. This is very important. You see, there are two kinds of faith. Saving faith and persistent faith. Saving faith is what gets you to heaven. And I would ask right now, there may be somebody there watching this in Hong Kong. I have to ask you this question. You may need it. Do you know for sure that if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? Do you? You know, that's the kindest question that anybody can ever put to you. It might offend you, but it's a kind question, because what matters is where you are 100 years from now. And so I ask you, do you know for sure? If you were to die today, would you go to heaven? Question number two, if you were to stand before God, you will, and he were to ask you, he might, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? The reason I pause, something should have come to your mind right now. If it hasn't, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. And if it did not come to your mind, I mean within a second or two, Jesus dying on the cross, the blood of Jesus, or the equivalent. If when you think, what will get you to heaven, if it doesn't come to your mind immediately, something's not right. And I would urge you, even as I speak, if there's any doubt, pray this prayer. You can pray it right now. You don't need to say it out loud. God will listen to you. He sees your heart. Just pray this. Lord Jesus, I need you. I want you. I'm sorry for my sins. Wash my sins away by your blood. I welcome your Holy Spirit into my heart. And as best as I know how, I give you my life. That's the prayer. I would urge you, go public with the prayer. Share it with one other person. Stand up and be counted whenever you get a chance publicly to testify. Don't be ashamed. And some of you who may have prayed that prayer, maybe you were saved before today, but if you never have prayed that prayer and you're ready to confess it to someone, you're not ashamed. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. If you're not ashamed and you confess it, and it's for the first time, Bible says, you've just been born again. Happy birthday. All right, that's saving faith. Hebrews 11 is not describing that. These people in Hebrews 11 were already saved. They were already saved. And what we have in Hebrews 11, it is a description of persistent faith. Because once you're converted, God doesn't just shake your head and say, see you in heaven. It begins a relationship. And you're called to come into your inheritance. Now, every Christian is called to come into his or her inheritance. Some do, some don't. Those who don't, according to 1 Corinthians 3, verses 13 and 14, they'll be saved by fire. Their works burn up. But it's also possible that some will have a reward. And that was what I was referring to a moment ago, when you have a rich welcome. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things done in the body. And I would urge every member of Solomon's church, let it be your goal to please God, come into your inheritance, and come to see what you have been made for, what you are destined for if you put your faith in Jesus. This is what he wants of you. Well, Hebrews 11, verse 6 goes on to say, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, as I said, all these people described, whether it is Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Samuel, all these people, do you know what? They turned their world upside down, not because they were just saved, but because of their persistent faith. They listened to God. They pleased God. They all pleased God, and they turned their world upside down. But here's another interesting thing. Not a single one of them, not one, got to repeat what had been done before. You see, if it's been done before, it's not so hard to do. But for all I know, Noah may have grown up hearing about the legendary Enoch. We know that Enoch walked with God. Read it in Genesis. Enoch walked with God. Then we come to Noah. It says, Noah walked with God. Well, with Enoch, God took him. He's one of two people in the Bible that didn't die. Enoch and Elijah. All right, Noah, he walks with God. And for all I know, he begins to think, when am I going to be taken to heaven? Well, one day, God said, Noah, build an ark. What? Build an ark? I thought I was going to be taken to heaven. No, that was Enoch. You build an ark. Never been done before or since. Abraham, he walks with God. He may have thought, well, when do I start building an ark? But you know, we read of Abraham, Hebrews 11, verse 8, he went out not even knowing where he was going. You see, not one of them got to repeat what was done before. And God could be asking you, maybe Solomon's porch generally, or maybe one of you, maybe all of you individually, you have to do something. You think, well, who else has done this? And God says, you just keep your eyes on me. Jesus told Peter how he would die. And the whole time Jesus was talking to Peter about how he would die. Peter wanted to know about John. What about him? You can read it in John chapter 21. And Jesus said, it's none of your business. You just follow me. And so in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we're told we keep our eyes on Jesus. Don't look over your shoulder. Did they do this? Did they do that? God wants you to love him with all your heart and honor him. And you may not get to do what's been done before. It will test your faith in God. Well, the writer of this epistle wants his people to enter into God's rest. He wants them to experience God swearing an oath to you. He wants them all to come into full assurance. Well, let me put this question to you. Think about this. Which gives you more satisfaction? When God pleases you, or when you please God? Which gives you more satisfaction? Well, I think if we're all honest, we prefer God to please us. That means he answers your prayer. He heals you. He gets you a better job. He sorts out finances. And we all like that when God pleases us. He gives us a special word. But then there are times when he hides his face. He doesn't answer prayer. You've got the same old job or you lose your job. You've been deep financial difficulty. And you think, Lord, what's going to happen now? And I would urge you, get your satisfaction from knowing you're pleasing him. You see, we all like it when he pleases us. But when he hides his face, you know, it just wasn't many weeks ago. I won't tell this. I won't give you the details. But I've gone through one of the greatest trials of my whole life recently, just in recent weeks. And I was asking God to speak, and it was as though I heard him say it, not in these words. I don't say I heard audible words, but it was real. It was real. The RTU preached that people should get their satisfaction from pleasing God. Now you do that. You do that. Because I've been preaching this verse, Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible. And you see, there comes a time when I had to admit, it's one thing to preach something, another thing to live it. And I would urge you, get your satisfaction from knowing that you please God. There is no greater feeling in the world. It just doesn't get better than that, from knowing you've pleased him. And that's what Enoch had going for him. It was a wonderful thing. Well, as I said, this is persistent faith, when you please him. And it's so interesting that the writer of Hebrews, we don't know who it was. Some say Paul, some suggests another. We won't know until we get to heaven who wrote it. But here's what he says. He that comes to God must believe two things. Now, this is persistent faith. Two things. One, that he exists, that he is. Second, that he's a rewarder of those that come to him and seek him diligently. You say, well, R.T., why would he say, believe that he is, that he exists? Surely that's a given. Surely people believe in God. Isn't it odd that he would address these Hebrews? These are saved people, by the way. How do we know that? He calls them holy brethren. He assumes that they've all been converted. And then he says, you must believe that he is. You think, well, that's redundant. Why? That's surely not necessary. I'll tell you why he says it. There's not a saint on the planet who, when God hides his face and everything goes wrong and all hell breaks loose and you lose everything. In my home state of Kentucky, in the last couple days, there have been over 75 people killed overnight through a tornado. And you think, how could God let this happen? I'm sure many of those people must say, Lord, do you exist? How could you let this happen? I'm going to tell you, when you're in a trial and you're in the fire and the devil is attacking, that's the time to say, Lord, I believe you. I'm trusting you. Though you slay me, yet will I trust you. That's what the writer wants. You must believe that he is. Don't give up. Stay there. But there's an addition, and it's lovely. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, I know there are people who say, I don't need a reward. I just want to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. It's really a bit of self-righteousness coming out. Moses, man of God, he was motivated by reward. It says so in Hebrews 11, that he was able to leave the palace of Pharaoh and do what he did, suffering the reproach of Christ because of the reward. He knew it would be better. He knew it would be better than what he had. And that's what kept Moses going. You see, God has made us in such a way that we all need motivation, and he appeals to us. He said to Abraham, I am your great reward. And do these things and I'll make you your name great. You see, we all need motivation. And I can tell you, when you are in trial, and it's only a matter of time you will be, don't forget these two things. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, because we must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What will be the evidence of that reward? Well, I think you will know. It could be inward assurance. It may be a greater relationship with God. He may give you a new friend. He may put things in your path that you never dreamed possible. It could be external things. It could be internal. But it's worth waiting for. Moses knew he was no fool. People say, how could you do that? Give up the palace. You're crazy. Oh, no, I'm not. What I have is better. And so with you, Solomon's porch, listen to me. God has great things for you. Don't try to please one another. Get your reward from pleasing him. As a church, all of you as individuals, I speak to Pastor Sam, Lisa, all of you, keep your eyes on Jesus. And guess what? God will show up, maybe externally, by bringing you things through miraculous answers to prayer. Internally, he'll witness to you and make God so real to you. He's never too late. He's never too early. He's always just on time. And my dear friend, I can't tell you how true this is. In my old age, I don't have time to preach on peripheral things. I never will forget being in South Africa with a man who, he only wanted to talk about ecclesiology. And every time we go to lunch or dinner, he bring up some ecclesiological matter, you know, like offices in the church, whether there are prophets and teachers and all those things. And I got tired of it. One day said to him, would you go to the stake for your ecclesiology? He said, no, I don't think I would. Then I lovingly, I hope it was loving, I said to him, start preaching what you would go to the stake for. That's what matters. You see, we don't know how much time we're going to have in these days of COVID, which is all over the world and different strains coming out. I hope to come back to Hong Kong. I may not. What matters? We keep our eyes on God. He's got something for all of us. And I can tell you, he will show up. He will answer prayer. And this is why I spend time preaching on what I would go to the stake for. I would die for this. If I could choose my last sermon, suppose you never hear me preach again. Suppose you never hear me. I'd be very glad for this to be the last sermon you ever heard me preach, because this is what I live by. It's what I would die by. Well, Solomon's Porch, I guess that's it. I've preached long enough. May God bless you and guide you. And let me just pray one last word. Heavenly Father, apply this word by your Holy Spirit to Pastor Sam and all the members and friends of Solomon's Porch. Let it spread into all of Hong Kong. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Can we rise to our feet from where we're at?
Amen, 我们站起来。
Pastor Nate and Pastor Andrew will be leading us in some worship.
Nate 跟 Andrew 牧师带领我们进入一个崇拜的时间。
Let's just allow the Holy Spirit to just really resonate in our hearts the message that RT just gave.
我们让圣灵把 RT 博士的信息带到我们的心里。
And as we worship, let's ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us and confirm that word in our heart.
我们崇拜的时候，我们邀请圣灵把 RT 的信息确认在我们的心里。Let's
worship the Lord together.
我们敬拜主。
Take my heart, I lay it down at the feet of you whose crown. Take my life, I'm letting go. I lift it up to you whose throne. Take my heart, I lay it down at the feet of you whose crown, and take my life, I'm letting go. I lift it up to you whose throne. And I will worship you, Lord, only you, Lord, and I will bow down before you, only you, Lord, and I will worship you, Lord, only you, Lord, and I will bow down before you, only you, Lord. Take my fret, take my fear, all I have, I'm leaving. Be all my dreams, be all my delights, be my everything, and I will worship you, Lord, only you, Lord, and I will bow down before you, only you. You, Lord, only. worship you, Lord, only you, Lord, and I will bow down before you, only you, Lord.
Maybe it's may the Lord speaking to you right now. Maybe some of us have lost our priorities.
You've
been so busy trying to please other people or even just please ourselves.
你有没有很忙于, 让别人喜悦, 或者让自己喜悦?
And we forgot that we should seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And so if you're being convicted tonight of that, can I just ask you to take some moment and just repent?
如果你今晚也有这个感觉呢, 我邀请大家就是忏悔。
Just say, Lord, I'm sorry for putting other things before you.
我们说, 主啊, 对不起, 我们把其他事情都放在你的前面。
I'm so into pleasing my boss and my spouse and my friends, and I forgot that, Lord, I'm here to please you.
我要取得我老板的喜悦，我的配偶的喜悦，或者我朋友的喜悦，我忘记了最重要是您的喜悦。
And so, if you're feeling convicted right now, can I just invite you to go to that place with God in prayer?
如果你现在有这个感觉，我邀请你就用祷告跟主说。
So, Pina, can you continue to lead us as we pray?
让你牧师继续崇拜。
This conference during our fast, so God can speak to us for the whole year.
我们进行这一轮的 讲座，是因为邀请主整年都对我们 说话。
And so God has spoken through RT for our communities around the world.
主呢，透过 RT 对我们全世界 不同的教会都 表达了他的话语。
That this year and really every year should be about pleasing the Lord.
就是今年以及其实每一年都是应该为 为主的喜悦而努力。
I'm reminded of Paul in his letter to the Ephesians, Ephesians 5:10. He says, try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord.
我想起了圣保罗对于以弗所教会的以弗所书第五章十节，总要测检何为主所喜悦的事。
And so can we just commit ourseles for this year? And let's just focus on this year before we get into every year, but just on this year that we would seek and to learn to please the Lord.
那我们可不可以承诺今年我们先专注于 这一年，我们先要学习怎么去取得主的喜悦。
So can we pray that? Can we just spend a moment and Pastor Nate will continue to lead us and let's pray that we would, Lord, we commit ourselves to seek you, God, and to please you.
我们可不可以祷告今年主啊，我承诺我就是追随你，取得你的喜悦。
Let's pray.
祷告。
Someone, I know some of the churches are meeting your house churches. If you're with somebody,
如果你们有跟其他人一起聚会
and you just want some prayer for someone around you, just raise your hand wherever you're at.
好，你想别人为你祷告，那无论你在哪里，请你举手。
If you're watching this alone,
即使你一个人在看这个视频
you just put your hand all over your own heart, ask God to minister to you.
你就把手放在心上，让主来为你祷告。
Well, let's pray together.
我们一起祷告。
Lord, we want to try to learn what is pleasing to you.
主啊，我们想要学习怎么样取悦你。
Help us to fix our eyes on Jesus.
帮助我们呢，把我们的眼睛稳稳地放在耶稣上。
The author and perfecter of our faith.
我们信仰的完全者。
For the joy set before him, we were the joy, Lord. Thank you.
他因摆在他前面的喜乐。
Endure the cross, despising its shame.
就轻看羞辱，忍受十字架的痛苦。
And is now seated at the right hand of God.
便坐在上帝的宝座的右边。
So help us to focus on you, God, this year.
请帮助我们今年专注于你。
Help us to fix our gaze and our eyes on you.
帮助我们仰望你。
Help us to know that we're your beloved. We were the joy set before you.
帮助我们知道我们是你所爱的，我们就是摆在你面前的喜乐。
And you have so many wonderful things in store for us this year.
然后你今年有各种奇妙的好的事情为了我们准备。
So help us to please you first and foremost.
帮助我们首先是要取悦你。
To please you only.
唯独是取悦你。
Lord, that's our commitment this year.
这是今年我们对你的承诺。
So we thank you.
我们感谢你。
We ask you to seal this word in our hearts, God.
请把这个话紧紧地锁在我们的心里。
Now, Holy Spirit, just begin to activate this word inside of us.
圣灵，请你在我们心里启动这些话。
Do your word work as we digest this word.
圣灵，我们消化这个话的时候，求圣灵做他的工作。
And change us and transform us.
改变我们。
We thank you, God.
感谢你。
In Jesus' name we pray.
耶稣之名。
Amen. Amen. If you're in your groups and you're ministering to each other, please continue to minister.
如果你们跟一些几个人一起聚会，请继续为大家祷告。
And even if you're home by yourself, continue to ask God to minister to you tonight.
即使你一个人在家里呢，也让圣灵，也让主继续的跟你沟通。
We'll see you tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Pastor Hyunsu has a powerful word for us.
明天早上十点Hyunsu牧师有一个有权威的话要跟我们分享。
And so remember, that's only going to be on Zoom.
那个只会在 Zoom 上。
All right, I hope that you enjoyed this evening.
希望大家喜欢今天晚上的讲道。
God bless you. We love you all.
愿主保佑你，我们都爱你们。
And we'll see you tomorrow morning.
明天早上见。
Good night.
晚安。